probably would double down on Paul's application in verse 7 for Timothy to think about these things. Don't just fly by this, because we do talk about this as a church often. Think about it. And as you think about it, ask the Lord, Lord, what does this look like for me?
Hey Veritas, this is Sam Anderson and Michael Rhodes, and you are listening to the Beyond the Message podcast. Michael, good morning.
Good morning.
This is your first one in 2025.
It is.
Right? First, yep. Well, Beyond the Message. We've had some equipping podcasts that we've recorded, but welcome.
Yeah, glad to be here.
Back to work. To the basement, I don't know, to our actual studio. So, Michael, thanks for opening up God's Word yesterday. just getting into closing out the Rhythm series, and we're just upstairs in the hallway before this on the way down here, and you and Jordan were recounting some of just the sweetness of having Jamie and Jess Schmidt here yesterday and being able to talk with them. And there's a really loud noise directly above us. Also just have it being on mission. I was like, we clearly planned all of that, right? No, clearly the Lord's providence and being able to connect those things. But talking about mission yesterday, not a foreign concept to us, something that we regularly bring up and should be on the forefront of our minds as we gather together as a church. So it was good to slow down and talk through what that practically looks like as a part of Rhythms and not just something that we're expecting of people. So I thought that was really helpful. Just kind of recapping your message yesterday, Michael, you spent most of your time in 2 Timothy 2, verses 1 through 7, right?
Yep.
And so just looking through there, just being reminded of the calling to spiritually invest in other people. We'll kind of come back to this. The one thing that really stuck out to me was when you said the mission of God is too important for you not to participate, but too large for you to accomplish on your own. So we need to be strengthened by the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And then your big idea yesterday was depend on the grace of God in your devotion to the mission of God. So, Michael, as we always do, first question for you, if you had some more time or could expand on something else or include something different, what would you have done differently or added, or what would be the message 2.0? Or 1.5.
1.1. So I think I was really excited to preach yesterday, passionate about investing in other people. Yeah. And it was a fun day.
Yeah.
I think when you put it in the, when I talk about Revelation 7 and like this is the big picture that we're going after here, and then you talk about all these ways that you could spiritually invest in people, it gets a little overwhelming.
Yeah.
And so if I had more time, I probably would double down on Paul's application in verse 7 for Timothy to think about these things. And in the sense of like, don't just fly by this, because we do talk about this as a church often.
Yeah.
We talk about being everyday missionaries. And so I think for anybody that may have heard that message yesterday and they go, man, yes, I want to be a part of this mission, but it does seem overwhelming. Like, where do you start? And I think really practically, and this I said this yesterday, but double down on it. Think about it. Like, go home, consider it. And some of you probably did that great yesterday.
Yeah.
Some of you got caught up in other things, understandably. And I would just say, even take a moment today to think about. And as you think about it, ask the Lord, Lord, what does this look like for me? What should this look like for me? What could this look like for me? Because I just don't know every person in that room yesterday.
Yeah.
And I don't know their stage of life. I don't know who they live around. I don't know every place that they work.
Yep.
And so for somebody to just ask the Lord, okay, God, here are the places I am that you have put me in. What could this look like in my life? So think about it, pray about it, and then whatever you feel like the Lord is speaking to you about, then tell somebody so that you don't get caught up in, we do a Rhythm series on mission potentially next year, and you're like, oh, yeah, I wanted to do that, but never did anything about it. So just have some accountability in it.
Yeah, that's sweet. That was most of my second question there, so we'll just we'll skip that. You had something else though, right? I think there was just kind of in casting the vision about what this could practically look like for us as a church.
Oh yeah, you're right. You're right. Yeah. So at one point, I was kind of going through, here are some practical rhythms of mission that a lot of people in our church participate in on their own. And I got to the end and I said, hey, even for Jess and Jamie, the Lord uprooted every rhythm of their lives, not just a Friday night or a Wednesday night or a lunch break, but God uprooted every rhythm for them to move overseas. Mm-hmm. And the first two services, I just kind of glossed over that. To a gentle rebuke from my wife after the second service, like, why did you give everybody an out?
Yeah.
In the sense of there might be people listening to this or listening yesterday that the Lord is asking you to uproot your entire life to move overseas,
right,
for the glory of God.
Yeah.
And we never want to like push that away to the side to say, we're not asking you to be elite missionaries, which we're not. I said that yesterday.
Yeah.
But for some of you, God, and he's still not asking you to be an elite missionary, but the faithfulness to the mission for you could be God is calling you to move overseas. So don't just push that to the side.
Yeah. Yeah, that's sweet. So for that, like if somebody's beginning to wrestle with that, what would be some ways that they could engage here that we could come alongside them in that?
I think the easiest thing to do is email Jordan Wright on our staff. He oversees all of that, and he has a great plan and system to help you walk through, okay, what could that look like?
Yeah.
We're going to walk you through an entire process so that we get a better understanding of what the Lord's doing in your life. And then, I mean, we get to the point of who should you attach yourself to? What organization should you attach yourself to? To how are we going to support you as a church when we're doing that? So first step, easy step, just email him and he'll walk you through that.
Yeah, because there's everything from global prayer to different connections with current people that we have in the field that might be a good conversation kind of discovery process of what that looks like. So yeah, Jordan Wright is our sending director, and absolutely get in contact with him, send him an email. If you don't know how to do that, find somebody on Sunday and we'll connect you. I mean, I think everybody knows how to send an email, but if you don't know like, how to find his email,
it's 2025.
What is going on? No, that's sweet. I think that was, so my second question was about just like, it's possible that people are overwhelmed because we do talk about this at least, you know, a handful of times a year. And there's usually a general practical application of living outside of yourself for the glory of God, not just like, hey, what do I do with this? But what does this mean for other people? And I think, Michael, what you said is, ending with Paul's encouragement to Timothy is that in chapter 7, think over what I say, for the Lord will give you understanding in everything.
Verse 7, not chapter 7.
Chapter 2, verse
7. There you go.
Thank you. And just that intentionality of thinking and not just like thinking to like connect the X's and O's and understand like to carry this over to the tens column. We're doing math and running plays at the same time.
Yeah, you're way past me.
That's great.
Over my head.
It's
probably third grade math.
Is that algebra? <I don't know. laughs> which one is that?
All our engineers listening think that we're
shaking their head.
Yeah,
but just that, like the thought leads to prayer and a desire for understanding, and then like what you said, including other people in that. So that doesn't just look like paid ministry staff whose job it is to connect with
totally.
That. That's your connection leader. That's the person that's discipling you. That's your spouse. That's people that you meet with in your men's group, like they're the people that you are involved with that are spiritually investing you, continue to let them know about, hey, this is something that God's doing in my heart.
Yeah.
And you don't have to have it all figured out. You can discover that with them as you're trying to understand what that practically looks like.
And I think the beautiful promise of verse 7 is the Lord will give you understanding. Mm-hmm. So think about this, pray about it, and the Lord's not trying to withhold his mission, like what he wants you, how he wants you to live your life. He's not trying to withhold that from you.
Yeah.
Like I think sometimes we're like, I don't know what the Lord wants me to do. Like he's made it clear in scripture, like this is what to do. Now, okay, Lord, I'm thinking about this. Please just help me walk in faith with what you've put before me.
Yeah. I think some of that like reminds me back to, or reminds me of like when we planted Urbana, when we helped plant down in Gainesville, like some of those initial interest meetings, like Kirsten and I went to both of those. And it was never like we're feeling called, but it was also like, we don't know what God's going to do. But also it wasn't like the quick, like, whew, dodge that bullet. Like we don't have to go there. But it was really just the process for us helped of like, hey, if we're going to consider being open-handed with where we live and what God is calling us to in ministry, why would we not stay differently? Like if that door closes and we're not going to go, then we need to double down on what we're doing, or we need to reassess like, hey, are we doing everything that God is calling us to us here? So it's like, even in that process, when it's the answer is no, like you don't just, okay, never mind, check that box. Let's just keep doing what we're doing. There's God works through that. And part of the process of a no to moving or being involved in something else is you stay here in a different way. So
you just said something a second ago, just in joking of like, oh, we dodged that bullet. I hope that when our church hears a sermon like this, people don't have that reaction, because like, if you dodge the bullet, you're missing the whole point of like the glory of God.
Right.
Like you're getting to be a part of seeing other people worship our God. Mm-hmm. And so that's got to be the driving factor. So if we dodge the bullet, we dodge the mission, like we dodge the point of the mission.
Right, right.
And that's what I just don't want our people to do.
That's sweet.
Yeah.
That leads me to my next point. So you said the mission of God is too important for you to not participate, but too large for you to accomplish on your own. So we need to be strengthened by the grace that is in Christ Jesus. So if you think like if there's a possibility that we're prone to fall into an improper balance of those two things, like either thinking that the mission is small or we've got a big head, like we got this figured out. I'm doing exactly what God's calling me to. What would you say we're most in danger of there?
I think if you have this kind of prideful attitude, I got it figured out, I know what I'm doing.
Yeah.
You're gonna do it without the grace that strengthens you. One, you're gonna get burned out pretty quickly.
Yeah.
And two, you're going to miss intimacy with Jesus, because that's like for you to trust and depend on the grace of God that is in Christ Jesus. That's like you saying, God, I need you. And I mentioned this at, I don't remember what service it was, but one pastor once said that he had people in his congregation that would often say, you know, I'm spiritually dry. What do I do? And he said, all right, you need to go share the gospel with somebody, because there's not much in our lives that cause us to depend on the Lord more than living on mission and sharing the gospel.
Yeah.
And if you are struggling with your intimacy with God, then keep living on mission.
Yeah.
Now, but if you're just trying to live on mission on your own, like I'm going to do this, you're missing that intimacy. I think on the other side, if you miss the importance of it, again, goes back to what we just talked about. You just miss the glory of God. You're just thinking like, oh yeah, I guess people are supposed to do this as Christians. This is what we're supposed to do, rather than this is what we get to do because we want the world worshiping our God because he's that worthy and he's that holy and he's that awesome. Yeah. And so I don't want people to miss intimacy in this, but I also don't want people to miss the glory of God. This is the point of all of this.
Yeah, I love do you have the Piper quote right offhand?
Yeah, I don't have the whole thing. Caleb's kind of said that at the very end, but what I have was, missions is not the ultimate goal of the church. Worship is. Missions exist because worship doesn't.
Yeah.
And just that whole idea of missions is about man and it's going to fade away, but worship is about God and it will abide forever. Something, I mean,
yes.
I didn't do that incredible justice there, but something along those lines.
Yeah, that's sweet. I love that Caleb finished with that, just tying in the, like, I mean, it's at Christ's return, when we are gathered together, when the vision and the mission is accomplished. I love how you brought that in at the beginning, like, do you feel like you've arrived? Like, arrival doesn't happen this side of eternity.
Sure.
Arrival happens with Christ's arrival and his second coming. And then that's where, like, the point of the full mission of God is accomplished at his return, because then we can truly worship as we ought to. Like the mission is completed. Like that's the end goal there. That was super sweet. Sure. Which kind of, I think that's too, just thinking through this today, like I think you did a great job yesterday, just balancing through that where it's like, the point is we're all on mission. the young boy on your basketball team that said his favorite part was
sitting,
riding the pine, sitting on the bench. Like, what your favorite part can't be sitting on the bench spectating. Yeah. Like, you're on the team getting the game. Where there's some of us that might just be missing it. And like right now, your mission might be to your spouse and your children. And you're just not ministering to them with the full strength and grace of Christ that you've been called to. It might be your neighbor. It might be your coworker. There's lots of different ways that gets fleshed out. But it also might be that God is asking you to step out of this small story that you've made for yourself in this comfortable little kingdom and saying like, hey, there's actually something else that I'm calling you to that's not here and not right now. And I want to prepare you for that. So that was super sweet. We do have a listener question.
I feel like we should have some kind of button that makes a sound when it's like a listener question. I don't know what that sounds
like. Mail. I don't know. But again, so your big idea yesterday, Michael, was depend on the grace of God in your devotion to the mission of God. So that was super sweet. Thankful for the time that we had opening up God's word with you yesterday, and thanks for leading us in that. So listener question. Some member in our church wrote in and just asking about talking about rhythms of family time. And I think this was maybe sent in the week after I think it was the week after Jordan's prayer, or maybe it was just last week. I don't know. But been talking about prayer and family rhythms and what does that look like. So this question is, what are realistic expectations of little kids praying? And then kind of goes on to just explain a little bit more. We frequently pray together as a family, but our kids mostly listen. For context, our children have yet to profess and demonstrate credible faith in Jesus. How do we encourage them to pray when they don't want to, which is lately often? I'm sure forcing them to pray is not a great approach, but I also don't want to be discouraged that they don't want to pray all the time.
This is a great question.
Yeah.
When I read that question, I'm so thankful that people are taking their job as parents seriously.
Yes,
as the primary spiritual disciple makers of their children, this person's taking it seriously.
Yeah.
So good on you who wrote this. I'm just really encouraged by it. I mean, it goes so much along with even what I talked about yesterday.
Yeah.
When you say, like, how do we encourage them to pray when they don't want to, which is often lately, I think you have little kids. Of course they don't want to pray. My kids are in the same boat. Sam, we were talking about this earlier.
Yeah.
All of our kids are in the same boat. Like, and the thing is, and you have a great recognition as writing this question, that your kids have yet to profess and demonstrate credible faith. So they're not going to have pure motivation.
Yep.
Just because your children don't have pure motivation doesn't mean that you don't keep teaching them how to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Because in the same sense, like, my kids don't have pure motivation when they do something wrong to the other person and I have to say, hey, you need to apologize. Would I hope that they would do it on their own and have this wonderful, I want to honor the Lord and I want to apologize to my brother because he just hit me with a Nerf gun from point blank range, you know, like not the dart, the gun, right? This never happened in our house.
Yeah, hypothetically,
yeah, totally. But actually, there was a Nerf war in our house. I don't think anybody got hit by a gun yesterday. So anyway, off the subject. So I would have to say, like, hey, you got to go apologize.
Yep.
And this is how you apologize. You say, I'm sorry for, and you are very specific. You don't just say, I'm sorry, whatever. You know, like,
yeah.
I'm sorry for hitting you in the head with this. I'm sorry I hurt you. Will you forgive me? And they're going to roll their eyes the first time, and then they might mumble through it. And you say, no, we're going to try that again.
Mm-hmm.
I want to teach you how to do this the right way. Because at some point in your life, my hope is that you do have pure motivation, but you've learned from mom and dad what it means to apologize.
Yeah.
And then for the other kid, we're going to model, hey, you need to say, thanks for saying that. I forgive you. Don't just say, it's okay. Because it wasn't okay. It wasn't okay for your brother to hit you in the head with a Nerf gun. So you need to say, I forgive you for that.
Also, don't retaliate.
Correct.
Because this is not going to go well for you. Now we're right back here.
So going back to prayer, for you to continue to – like force is a hard word. More just like, no, we're gonna get into a rhythm of doing this as a family. When we get Christmas cards as a family, we pray over every Christmas card that we get. And it's at the end of dinner time when they're kind of ready to get moving on. And sometimes our kids are like, I don't want to do this. And we say, no, we're going to do this. Like, this is what we're going to do as a family, whether you want to or not, we're going to do this. And my hope is that down the road that they're like, oh, now I know more of how to pray because of this.
I'm thinking about this person. I can pray about them right now. Like this – yeah, just in modeling that too.
Sure.
Do you guys – will you talk through stuff? Because oftentimes it's the, hey, what do you want to pray for tonight is something that we regularly ask our kids. And usually the first two or three times it's the, I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't have – you don't have anything. And then it's the
or
calling back.
I want to have
like,
a good day.
Yeah.
Or fun day.
Yeah. Like, okay, well, we can pray about that.
Sure.
But we're going to pray some more.
Yeah.
But then it is, I think oftentimes it's just the recounting back. Like, hey, remember you've got this classmate that has this going on. Remember that earlier today when you were having a hard time with this, that was exposing just your desire to be a perfectionist. And like, you're not perfect. And that's good that we're. So just, I think some of that where it's more of like coaching through and they don't always pick up, like even our, like, no matter the age, all of our kids, they don't always pick up and it's not the most like elaborate, graceful prayer, but like, we're going to talk about it. And it's like, but the expectation is that we go to God with this.
Sure. So what are realistic expectations? I would say they're still kids.
Yeah.
Don't expect them to have some flowery prayer, which that like, that's not even honoring to the Lord anyway. Like
right.
Jesus, like, calls that out when somebody's standing on the street corner saying how great their prayer life is or what how great they are. So just expect them to pray like a kid. Don't expect big words and pure motivations yet. But you model it, teach them. I mean, we teach our kids, like, start your prayer in it. And I don't, like, hold them to this every time. But if you're struggling to know where to start, say, God, you are.
Mm-hmm.
Father, hallowed be your name, right? And that's the model prayer that we get from Jesus. So the model prayer for us is, like, Lord, you are. And so let's start there so the focus is on God and not just, God, help me have a good day. Yeah. Help me have a fun day today at school. Have
and if they get God, you are, and then they're like, all right, well, what's something that we learned at Sunday school this week?
Sure.
Like, what was the, like, attribute of God? So I think there is some more of the coaching and, like, talking through that.
Sure.
Do you guys do, like, it's almost like we have negotiations sometime where it's like, would anybody like to start praying today?
And crickets.
But sometimes it's like, they're fighting or like, I want to start because they know I can just say, like, God, thank you for being gracious. We love you.
Sure.
And then, like, that's it. It's like, so they don't have, but there are other times where it's like nobody wants to start and it's like, that's okay. I've got it. I think there is some of the, just the balance of, it doesn't always have to look like the same thing.
No.
Doesn't have to be an expectation. There's going to be nights where my heart's not in the right place. And I have to say like, God, my heart's not in the right place.
Sure.
Help me, like, get my eyes off of myself. And just even modeling in our prayer, like our own reality of being in need and us having the same kind of struggles that they might have at the same time.
Yeah.
So.
Don't get caught. Your kids don't have to pray the same way at the same time every single night or every single morning, whatever it is. Just, I think realistic expectations are they are kids. You do have to teach them. They're never going to learn it on their own. So forcing them to do it. Yeah. Sometimes you will. Force them to do it, not in a mean way, but just say, no, we're still going to do this because God's important to our family.
Yeah.
And so we're going to talk to him and we're going to just have a conversation with God because he's important and he's the most important thing. Why would we want to do anything else? And then they're still going to be like, I don't really want to do that. Yeah. No, we're still going to do that.
Yeah.
But it doesn't have to be a long thing. So I think more than anything for the person that wrote this in, we're so encouraged. We are so encouraged by the fact that you do pray together as a family, that you're thinking about this.
Mm-hmm.
Keep it up.
Keep modeling it.
Yes.
And like, it's pray out loud for them, with them, around them.
Sure.
Keep doing it.
And it's going to be messy.
Yep.
It's not going to be pure motivation every time. And that's okay. Just keep at it because your consistency over time is going to show them like, oh, this is what it looks like to pray. Yep. This is how mom and dad pray. And whether they like it or not, that's okay. We're not called to have them like us in the moment. We're called to teach them what it means to love the Lord, our God, with all their heart, soul, mind, and strength.
Yeah. So, the other thing too that I was just thinking about, we talked about this a little bit before, but just, I mean, we've got family members, friends that are involved in with different, whether like law enforcement or Usually anytime a helicopter's flying over, we're like, is that Ted flying from the University Children's Hospital or the University of Iowa Hospital? And but like usually if there's like somebody pulled over or there was an accident, it is like the quick like got to be with that person. Or, you know, the kids come home and they're like, hey, this person was sick at school today. It's like, hey, let's pray for them right now. Let's pray that God would give them rest and strength and heal them. And did have some more serious health situations in our kids' classes this year. And that was like a regular thing of like, hey, the people in your life that like there's big things happening. Mm-hmm. Like, let's pray about that. But then let's also take the time to pray about what, like, how are you struggling? How can you ask God to help you? Like, what do you, not what do you desire, but like, where do you want to see God grow you? Mm-hmm. That's not always the most elaborate explanation, but I think the expectation of saying like, hey, we pray. Like, that's just what we do. And I'm going to do it whether you want to or not. But like, our kids are catching more that we model than we actually are like teaching and expecting of them. So keep doing it.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's sweet. Awesome. I think there's probably a lot more. Do you have any more of like family? Like, have you guys had some good like family worship rhythm kind of things? Any like books or podcasts that you've
calling me out here, Sam, because we're terrible at family worship. And it's mainly because we have like.
But that's a misnomer. I hate the idea of a family devotional.
Correct. That's
family,
what I'm talking about.
Like a big, like a gathering. It's just what you do. Last night I took this video of Trace was singing Joy to the World in the bathroom and I'm sitting in the living room and it was just hilarious because it was just like he was being silly, but it was also like we're singing. Like,
yes, totally.
It's great.
But from a all get together as a family on a night of the week and do this, we have never done that super well. Mainly because right now we have a 3-year-old and a 13-year-old. So it just looks very different. For our as our kids are growing up, we always read the Bible. So we read a book before bed. We read Bible stories before bed. We sing worship songs every single night before nap time, before bed. And so
– do you do any like family scripture memorization?
We've done that at times, yep. Erica's really good at doing that with the kids like in the morning.
Yeah.
Sometimes I'm out of the house and we're trying to remember things. I'm the one that brings in makes up goofy, silly songs to help memorize those things. Sweet. But there are things that come back to my mind like so often because they were so goofy.
Yeah.
But we try not to make it some crazy thing because at one point I remember – we were talking about David and Goliath, like reading that story, and like our family worship time, if you want to call it that, ended up with like wrestling on the floor and somebody crying.
Or reenactment.
Yeah, totally, which I'm fine with that. Like, I don't expect them just to sit with their hands in their lap. Like, they're still kids.
Yeah.
But we try to be consistent. And so, but that looks different for us now that our kids are kind of pretty spread out in ages. But I know some families that can do that really, really well. And so, good on you for being able to do that. We just try to figure out the rhythm for us, but we try to be consistent in it.
Yeah, no, that's good. I think that's the other thing too, where it's like if you view parenting as your primary mission field that God has set you in right now, like you are called to minister to your spouse and your children.
Sure.
That's first and foremost, like in your home, do that.
Sure.
Have the motivation to put all of the energy that God is supplying you with into that.
Sure.
And depend on Him and continue to grow in that.
Sure. I would just say I totally agree with that. I also would say that the call to make disciples isn't just to make disciples of your family.
Absolutely.
And you're not saying that. Yep. I know you're not saying that. But I think sometimes we can go, well, it's kind of an excuse to – like, well, I'm just discipling my kids, and I don't want to push that to the side either. That is an incredibly important job, and you are the primary one to do that, so you should be doing that.
Right.
But I don't want us to forget other people in the world for us to invest our lives in. And I'm not talking you have to meet with them every single Tuesday morning at 6 o'clock in a coffee shop. I'm just saying, don't neglect other people in the world.
Yeah,
because you're discipling your kids. It's a both and, not an either or.
Yes, absolutely. Love it. Michael, thanks for joining us this morning. Church, let's continue to depend on the grace of God in our devotion to the mission.
Amen. Okay.